Where's Pastor at? Is he hiding somewhere? Oh, one of those bad Christians that sits in the back. Okay. Thanks for having us, Pastor. It's an honor to be here, for real. Love you guys. Darren could echo all the friendship things, but I'll hold the... we'll have our moment later, I guess. Okay. Guys, let's pray. I'll preach. What time should we be wrapping up? I don't want to make anyone mad at me. Okay, at least one person said take their time. Everyone else get mad at them. They're the one who said take my time. All right, let's pray. Jesus, we honor you, Lord. And when we say Lord, it means you can have it all. It means you're in control, that you're the boss, and we're here to do your will. We want to be about our Father's business. And we want to make every day, every moment count, Father. So, Holy Spirit, we just welcome you to come and convict our hearts today, move in our lives today. Just bring us closer to Jesus today. We just want to know you more. We want our life to be spent well, Father. We want our lives to be poured out on your feet, Lord. So we just bless this church, and we just welcome you, Jesus, into this place. Amen. All right, guys, here we go. Not much of a public speaker. Just give me 2 minutes. I work through the awkwardness, and then I get better, so just work out. I like the tents better than the pulpits, you know. I'm just one of those guys. I wanted to say, if anyone was judging me during praise and worship, that my hands weren't up. I would say Darren was taking all my airspace, so I didn't know when I could. And then at one point, I thought I felt the Holy Spirit. It was actually Darren's hand hit my beard a little bit. So that was his fault, in case you're wondering. But at the end of the video, I said a phrase, you know, I wanted to use my life where it was needed the most. And that wasn't I'm better because I'm doing missions overseas and I don't want to, you know, be in the small town West Virginia with all the churches. That's not my heart at all. But there is something in my life where we as a church have been given a mandate. And I think the first scripture is Matthew 28. We can throw it up. Most of you guys probably know it. It's called the Great Commission. It matters. And I'm going to tell you why it matters. Sorry, I stand over here so I can see Damon. So he's... get mad at me. But it matters because it's like, I always refer to it as like you're, you know, a father on their deathbed and they bring their kids around and they say something in that moment because they want that to be the thing, you know, that sticks with them. Like, son, you're really good. I loved you. Make sure you take care of your mom. You know, whatever that thing is, it's like a calculated word. Because we know that we're treasuring this moment together, and I want this one thing, if nothing else fully stuck, like, let's make sure this one thing sticks, you know what I mean? So Jesus, getting ready to ascend to heaven, we have this moment at the end of Matthew 28, still not there, that's all right, it'll come. Matthew 28, it's verse, I think, 18 and 19, yeah. And Jesus came, spoke. Jesus came and said unto them, all power on earth has been given unto me. Go into all the world and make disciples. And it says, you know, teaching them everything I commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, in his moment, before he was going back to heaven, had his people, had his tribe around him. And he said, hey, guys, this one thing. This wasn't just about you. And sometimes in church, we show up because it's about us, right? Because we need our filling to get through the week. Life's hard. I have prayer requests. I need a blessing in this area. And that's okay because God's a good father and he gives good gifts to his children. And he cares about us. That's just the reality of that. But we're also on a mission. And there was something where, you know, sorry if I'm not trying to sound rude at all, but we eventually have to, you know, receive the gospel and then eventually get over ourselves. And I say that in a way of like, we need to come and receive and get our fill because without him, we're nothing. And we need to be humbled and broken and poured out. And he needs to come and say, it's okay, I'm with you. But there was a thing where Jesus, even when he was young, he was like, you know, when he got left in the temple, he's like, you knew where you could find me. Like, I'd be in my Father's house. And he goes on to say, like, I'm about my Father's business. And in America, it's really hard sometimes to do that. You know, grew up in the church, you know, we have the busyness of life, you know, whatever that looks like. But what does it mean to be about my Father's business? Because being a missionary really has little to do with being overseas and has a lot more to be with, like, having a heart that's about his business, right? So I have some stats for you this morning. For people that don't like numbers, sorry, but I'm a numbers person. But Jesus said, hey, church, go into all the world. That was our mission statement, right? That was the thing that he was like, don't forget to do. This isn't actually just about Jerusalem, okay? This isn't just about Israel. It's go into all the world and make disciples. And eventually we need to look at ourselves with numbers, which I like numbers because they don't have feelings. They're in general more factual. It's like, oh, they don't care about how you feel. It's like a number's a number. It's just kind of how it is. And we as a church have been said, he gathered us and said, hey, go and make disciples of the whole world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And these stats are, how are we doing with that? So I hope you enjoy. Don't take them personally unless you need to. So there's 7.8 billion people in the world, okay? 7.8. 3.3 billion are in people groups that are less than 2% Christian, okay? So that's roughly 42% of the world, of the population of the world, are in people groups that are less than 2% Christian. So as we're worshiping on Sunday mornings, and Jesus is saying, hey, guys, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and we're celebrating the goodness of God, there's actually 42% of our mission that is left unaccomplished, right? So if we were, you know, if you were a teacher, that means, what, 58% are in people groups that at least have a good expression of, you know, at least 2% of the people around them are believers, and they could learn from them at least, you know. But we have 42% of the world right now that's still in people groups that's less than 2% believers. So as we're happy here, thinking we're thriving, sorry, I'm not trying to be rude at all, but there's 42% of our mission, just an awareness thing, 42% that's left undone, right? So we got work to do, right? Because Jesus spoke to his church and said, go into all the world. He didn't say it's just about Beckley, right? He said, go into all the world, carry this mandate, take responsibility, and build this kingdom thing out in a way that brings glory to Jesus, and don't forget about the people over there, right? So that's where we're at. Most of these people, 96% of them, live in this area called the 1040 window. What that is like North Africa, which is all Muslim countries across there, into the Middle East, mainly Islam there as well. And then you get into India, it goes all the way to Asia, China, all those places. So 96% of the unreached people are actually located in this window of North Africa, Middle East, Asia, Southeast Asia, India, you know, those areas. So if you think about where are these unreached people, they're, most of them are there. Ready for this. So for every 50, sorry, so many numbers. Some of you guys are like, man, I hate numbers, sorry. For every 54,000 evangelical believers, there's one unreached people group, right? So what that means is if I could find one out of every 54,000 of us to go to an unreached people group, we could have all unreached people groups with an expression of the gospel. If we can get one out of 54,000 of us that are the Holy Spirit, Pentecostal, doing the thing. If we can recruit one out of 54,000, we can actually see the nations reach. That's where we're at. So this is your first offering. We need people. And one of my favorite testimonies of a church that existed, it was the Moravian Church. They were a 24-hour, you know, worship, prayer. They ministered to God. But during that time of ministering to the Lord, they caught his heart for the world. And what they did is they started tithing 10% of their people to the nations. So what that meant was, the reality of the church is, it's not the pastor's job to do everything, right? You guys know that? we get that wrong sometimes in West Virginia. We think, well, we pay the dude, so he better go and, like, do the ministry. You know, like, we think that way. I don't know who's paid, whatever. But it's like, that's where we're at. But the reality of a healthy body of Christ is the role of the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist. Their job isn't actually to do the ministry. Their job is actually the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Because we don't need a person, we need an army for a city, right? And we actually need, it says, everyone's a hand, everyone's a leg, and everyone needs to do their part. And the pastor's job is actually the equipping of the body to all have a role. And it's a scary thing. I mean, I could go into the parable of the talents, where some are given five, some two, some one. And the whole thing around that parable is that the business leader leaves, he comes back and he says, give an account of what you've done. And the problem can be in America, never in this church, but other churches for sure, is that the people in the church don't know that they actually have an individual calling. And they're expecting a full-time minister to come do the ministry, and I'm coming to receive. But the problem with that is it says one day we're all going to stand before God and give an account of our life, and you're going to realize that you actually had a talent the whole time, but you thought it was the pastor's job to be doing it, and you actually squandered the gift of God that was on your life. Because we're each God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Every person in this room is a minister of the gospel, or you're not a follower of Jesus. But for each one, he fashioned in your mother's womb with a calling and a purpose to change nations, to touch someone's life, to change a city. And we each have been given a talent that will be called into account of, you know, whatever. So it's not just about coming to church, but it's getting past that and saying, God, you fashioned me in my mother's womb for a purpose. What is that purpose and what role can I play? One of those things is your time, and that's where you're preaching, your engagement with the lost. The others is your finance. Sorry, I'm that guy. I'm going to talk about finance. I'm an accountant, so it's biblical for me to do this. Okay. So the Old Testament, you guys ready for this? So I promise, don't get mad at me. It's just like Bible stuff. Get mad at the Bible, not me. Okay. So the Old Testament, anyone heard of the tithe? Vocab lesson. Anyone heard of the tithe? Okay. So Old Testament was, a tithe was 10%. And it wasn't your last 10% if you had enough left over. It was actually your first 10% was your tithe. And then you actually had to walk by faith for the other 90%. And that's why the tithe came out first, because you gave that first and then you trusted God to provide for your needs. It's actually how the tithe, it was that act of faith that God called us into. And this is Old Testament, which, okay, we'll go into that. Jesus in the New Testament, when it comes to this whole giving thing, we have a couple things. One is the widow. She had two little coins and she gave everything. And Jesus really didn't even talk about a tithe. He only honored wholeheartedness. And it was just everything was Jesus's. You know, so we have an Old Testament that has a lower bar of a 10%, and we have Jesus who really only honors wholeheartedness. I can summarize the whole law in one thing. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. Jesus, if you thought the law was hard, Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust in your eye, you've committed adultery. If you, you know, like he, the whole New Testament actually calls us even higher. You know what I mean? Jesus only calls us above and beyond the 10%. So that's what we get when we read our Bible, and then we look at the evangelical church. Don't take it personally, unless you need to. Old Testament, 10%. Jesus says, I love it all. We as the evangelical church, based on our income, give 1.5%. That's the average of where the church is currently at right now. So we consume 98.5 and we give 1.5. But we have our hands up in worship and say we love Jesus. And what that means, you know, it says that, you know, you worship me with your mouth, but your heart's far from me, guys. And this isn't a Christian club where we all agree and believe in the same things and say amen. It's actually having some substance to your life. Right. Like, if you can't get to the point where it's like you worship and you say the things, but like when it comes time, it's like, I don't know if I'm allowed to say shut up, but I'm going to. It's like we use that phrase like put up or shut up, dude. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't just a club, you know, a thing to come feel good about yourself, but like we're the army of God being equipped to take over cities, states, and nations. And we're given 1.5%, and that's probably a good reflection of your heart. Like, at a certain point, it's a place where your faith is. And this isn't like a feel bad about yourself thing, but I'm like, God, let's do this thing.
Yeah.
Like, and I just feel like we have something to build as this church here, arise and build. And we need everyone to do their part. Like, we just can't be at a place where we have the top 25% carrying the load and everyone else is freeloading. Sorry, not trying to sound rude. But, like, can we get to the point we actually need a body that's functioning and we actually need you?
Amen.
And you're like, well, I'm just a small piece. That's the point. Like, we even need the small pieces. It says some are the arms, some are the legs, some are this, some are that. That's fine. We need participation and wholeheartedness, whatever that looks like. Like, we need the widow's mite. And we need it on such a bigger level, you know? So 1.5% of the tithes coming in. Guys, if the evangelical church, which is us, I'm not talking about those Catholics or those Orthodox or those this or those that. I'm talking about us in the house. Like, at a certain point, it's just disobedience. Like, at a certain point, it's just like, you know, they say that, you know, I love the phrase, but like, the tithe is the test of his lordship. Talk about saying that he's Lord and, you know, it's a test of his lordship. If he's Lord, then let him be Lord and trust him. You know what I mean? And we need a church that's participating, guys. My guess would be around 25% in the church of the people that attend church are active and engaged in what's going on in life. The other 75% are existing, which is okay, but like, we actually need everyone, okay? This is a team effort. If we're gonna disciple nations, be fruitful and multiply, we need the whole shabam, okay?
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's good.
Okay, so for every $100,000, more numbers, sorry guys, for every $100,000 that comes into evangelicals' hands, 1.5%. So 1,500 becomes the tithe from that, 1.5% of what comes in, okay? Works all the way down to, for every $100,000 that comes into an evangelical's hands through their work, $1.48 goes towards unreached people groups. So does that make sense? So you have $100,000, and by the way, it all the way shakes out. Of that, we have $1.50 that actually goes towards the 42% in the world that haven't heard the gospel yet. And the other $99,998.50 gets spent on, you know, the thing here, the thing there. But like, what actually goes towards missions? To the point, which is the worst, most embarrassing stat, is last year in America, evangelical Christians, it was in the last couple years, evangelical Christians spent more money on Halloween costumes for their animals than we spent towards unreached people groups. When Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, and we stewarded our money in the sense, sorry for anyone that bought a, you know, little like pumpkin thing for their dog. It's probably cute, and you can show me a picture afterwards, it's fun. But just when it comes to like baseline stewardship of like, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all the world, and we stewarded our money in spending more on Halloween costumes, which some people are like, that's demonic. Other people are like, it's just cute, whatever. That's not my point. But it's like, we spent more on that, Halloween costumes for our animals, than we actually gave towards unreached people group, the 42% that we were called to go and make disciples of nations. At a certain point, it's like, I'm from West Virginia. You know, I like animals. It's cute. But at a certain point, you're like, sorry, I don't know if crap's a cuss word, but sorry about it. What the heck, guys? Like, you know what I mean? At a certain point, we got to draw a line and be like, are we even serving Jesus at this point? Or like, what are we doing? You know what I mean? It's like, we go to church, like, and then we spend more on our animal Halloween costumes. It's like, what's going on over here? And like, we might feel like we're winning at the church game, even if that's church growth, you know, like the kids have a good ministry, whatever that is. But like, Jesus said, go and make disciples of nations. And guys, the tithe needs to come in. If there's a good goal for this week, I'm not the pastor here, so you won't see me next week. But like, guys, we gotta get the tithe in the storehouse for sure. From that, you guys support Mackenzie and I directly through your tithe comes to Mackenzie and I an expression of two people You know, part of a team of 40 Americans, 15 Arabs, some of the money you give to us actually goes to supporting local Arab missionaries. So there's Muslims, think about this, Muslims that come believers, get beat by their families, and say, I love Jesus anyway, and I want to be a full-time missionary to go back to Muslims. That's where some of the money is, like, going towards. Like, I'm talking about, like, a good way to spend your money, right? And I'm like, I'm not talking about me, but it's just like, at a certain point, it's like you're going to work for 40 hours a week, and it's like before you know it, your wife's over there buying her, the second Halloween costume for your pet, and I'm like, once again, I don't mind that. It's kind of cute. But it's just like at a certain point, it's like, guys, we need to focus. Like, we need to, like, Jesus gave us something to do, and we actually need to, like, hone in on this sucker and, like, spend our time and our finance. Like, you're going to work 40 hours a week, like, use it towards something that's eternal, right? Like, invest in eternity, invest in the, you know, all of those things. So that's just kind of where we're at. So I challenge you guys. God actually says, try me in this. He bucks up a little bit. He's like, oh, you're scared about this? Like, try me, bro. Like, you know, he's like, try me in this and see if I won't pour out my blessing on you. And I just encourage, try him this year. Amen. Try him. Amen. That's all.
That's good.
Okay. Where am I at? Kins, where am I at? Mackenzie and I have had something in our heart this year. I was praying before service. It was about a month and a half ago. And, you know, it's like I'm for sure a believer, a missionary, but, like, at a certain point I have to, like, put on this, like, activist hat, which everyone's like, I hate activists. I don't know that. You know what I mean? But like, we are a voice for the 42% of the world. Like, the people you saw up there, the gypsies, they're a people group that didn't have believers in them. One of the guys baptizing him was actually, he's one of our house church leaders. He's a gypsy guy. He was doing some of the calls to prayer in the mosque when we met him 3 years ago. Now he's baptizing other people, like, you know, like, there's crazy stuff. That's one. Mackenzie shared. There's been about 150 of them baptized post-COVID. It was like June of 2020 when we really got involved with them. And we have to eventually look at, you know, the model of multiplication. So I'm not trying to get workspace or whatever, not that there's always a system, but 2 Timothy 2:2, it talks about how Paul discipled Timothy in the presence of many witnesses. So sometimes we need to break the mindset of, I'm discipling a person. Like, okay, I will meet with this person one-on-one, do this. Like, Paul discipled Timothy in the presence of many. Like, he actually, it was a communal thing that he was going about. And then that whole purpose of that discipleship was for him to go and trust other faithful men to do the work of the ministry, okay? So with what we do, the Muslims that come to faith in Jordan, we can't always bring them to a normal church service. So we see a believer, we meet them in their home, and their families get discipled through them. We need a flare of this in the U.S., like, I'm all for the Sunday morning services. It's a privilege that we can gather, and gosh, worship team, the preaching here, you guys have an amazing church. I would happily serve this church. I'm not talking about being in any type of leadership. You guys are an amazing crew here. But there needs to become that, like, personal flair where it's like, there's even a little more than, like, first off, bring people to church. Do that. But, like, we need to get into homes, guys. And we need to disciple people in homes and let that crazy brother they have be at the dinner table when we're there doing that. Like, we need to, like, you know, I was thinking of the word infiltrate. Like, that's kind of what we're doing in the Middle East. It's like a little bit of leaven, you know, that gets snuck in and it kind of keeps growing and stuff. But, like, we need to have more and more of those conversations and do that. Another testimony from that video, the last guy we got baptized, guys, that was ISIS. Wow. With the rap sheet. He was actually a hired mercenary for ISIS that was in Syria, trained there, and was hired as a hitman. Sorry for any kids that are in here. I didn't know that. But that's actually what was happening there. And that story, talk about, like, the, you know, the gospel being, like, a weak thing. You know, you were sharing, like, it's the foolishness, not a weak thing. The foolishness of God. So just a little bit of that story. It was one of our teammates named Josh who was baptized in that last guy. he was at a restaurant, and this guy was working behind the, you know, cooking whatever. He was one of the cooks there. And he came out, and he was like, hey, I see something different about you. You're always happy when you come in here, and I'm a mess. He was like, so why is that? And he said, well, you know, I followed Jesus, and he changed my life. I used to be a drug addict, too, you know, just like you, but he changed me. And he shared the gospel with them that day. They said a prayer that probably felt really powerless and really ineffective. There probably wasn't a worship team, you know, at the restaurant. It was just a very simple prayer of obedience, but he preached the gospel. And we don't realize the power that's in a really small seed, you know, and we don't always know what's happening. Because if you actually knew that story of this ISIS guy, he disappeared for the next 6 to 12 months and we didn't hear from him. So we could have easily thought, well, that was a wasted seed. Never heard from him. He won't answer our calls. He calls, you know, 6 to 12 months later and he says, hey, we need to meet. And they went, sat with the guy, and he was like, hey, I got hired out for another job. And we went, abducted the guy, had him in, you know, the place. And when I went to kill him, I couldn't do it anymore. He was like, something changed in my heart that when it was time to go do the deed, like, something changed. And it's like this foolishness gospel, that this weird, awkward moment you had with your family member and you threw a seed and you didn't know what happened with it, like, God honors little steps of obedience. And that's why I'm so much like, we really don't need superstars. Like, God really doesn't call the wise. He doesn't call the great. He doesn't really call the great public speakers very often. We just need a body that's participating, guys. And we just need people to do small things faithfully. And Jesus and God causes the growth of the kingdom. And then we can, you know, in Psalm chapter 2, it says, ask of me and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance. You guys in this room have the firepower to ask God for the city of Beckley. Like, you guys, you guys actually have what it takes to dream for Beckley and to see things actually change here. Because Jesus had 12, and they were called the people that turned the whole world upside down. We have, whatever, a couple hundred, 150, 200 people in here. Like, guys, we have more than enough. But we have to change our strategy. What we're doing is good and it's growth, but we actually need to revamp. What does it look like, God, to ask, you know, to say, ask of me and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance. Ask of me. You have not because you ask not. You know, like, we need a body that's saying, like, let's be about this thing. And, you know, like Pastor saying, setting a pace of, like, everyone do the role. Everyone bring someone into the kingdom this year. But we need to activate on a corporate level, because it's with that, a body that's doing small things faithfully, nothing's impossible, guys. You know, Beckley's not impossible. You know, and I even challenge you that, you know, the whole Joshua thing, I'll be, you know, be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged. I'll be with you wherever you go. I encourage each one of you to think of the worst thing or the worst person. Sorry, that's not very happy thinking. But, like, the most difficult situation in the city, and take responsibility and say, that's my assignment. Because as Christians, we're really good talking about everything that's going bad in the world, but we really don't do anything about it. It's like we just repeat bad news and we think it's spiritual, like we're discerning or something. But it's like what God has highlighted to you, like, quit talking about it. Like, put up, you know, like, be about the Father's business. And, like, those bad areas of town, that bad person that you know, like, these are our assignments. And as we infiltrate, you know, this kingdom of darkness, you know, like, we can actually see a city change, you know. And I feel like, Pastor, I feel like we're building this year, like, arise and build. I just feel like it's a mandate, but it's not just about a building. Like, the physical building's always second, right? But I do think that's going to happen soon. But I feel like we need a mandate as a body. Arise and build, guys. And you have to get up. Arise comes first. Like, it's time to stand up and just start building and start chipping away at this thing. And if it's a drug problem, you're going after those people. Like, if whatever you see in this city that's negative, like, get up and have movement in your life, guys. And please keep coming to church. It says gather together more and more as the time draws near. I'm not talking about going rogue and, like, saving the world. I'm talking about being a part of a family of God, but, like, have vision for your life, because God has people in your life that you're going to touch this year. So, amen. Where are we at? It's almost one. I'm going to wrap up. Let's pray. And then, are we transition. I'll go back to you. Okay. Go to pastor. Nice. Guys, close. Can we have everyone stand up? Guys, we're just going to go into a time of prayer. Just pray in your head, pray out loud, whatever you want to do. But we're going to ask God for Beckley this morning. So, Father, we thank you for this city. Father, your word says, ask of me and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance, Lord. And just the cry of your people right now and just an alignment of our lives, Lord, whatever sacrifice is involved of our time, of our finance, Father, Lord, let us be about our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Father. And let that be the dedication of our life, that it would be in Beckley as it is in heaven, Father, that your will would come and be a part of this city, Lord, that every demographic, Lord, if it's a drug issue, if it whatever it is, Lord, we just pray, Father, and ask that you give us this city, Lord. Lord, that those struggling with addiction, Lord, specifically drugs, Father, and we're speaking to right now, we are calling people home, Father, right now in Jesus. And we don't have a religious spirit. There is a place for the broken in this place, Lord. There's a place for the people that aren't dressed well in this place, Lord. And I just pray that as this, you know, this city on the hill, this light of the world thing shines, Lord, we ask for the broken people of the city to find a home with us, Lord. And I just pray that you begin to raise up fathers and mothers in this place, Lord, even like college age group that are going to attract friends in, and that there's going to be an older generation in this house that actually picks up a mantle of mothering and fathering a generation that's not their own. And it's not even their actual kids, but they're going to see broken people, and this like mama bear, papa bear thing's going to rise up and say, this one's mine. And you're going to love that person like they're your own child. And you're going to enter into covenant with them to see them do well and prosper in life, Lord. So I just pray for every generation in this church that disciples would be made, Father. And as they're making disciples in this place, Lord, I pray for the couple in this room that you're calling into full-time missions, Lord. We just say there is a place for you, that nothing's impossible, that God is the God of finance, Lord. He's the God of your family. Your kids have a place overseas. And we just say, even like the Moravian Church, Lord, we ask for a tithe, Lord, of just people in the churches in America that are just ready to go to the 42%, Lord. Those that have been blessed with finance, Lord, I pray first and foremost, Lord, that the tithe comes in this year to this church, Lord, that everyone will play their role, that they will give their first 10%, Lord, and just trust you and test you to see what you will do, God, and that they'll go above and beyond with offerings, Lord, to people like me and McKenzie, to local ministries, Lord, that we will just become an extravagant church that just loves to give, and that we're just known for our generosity and known for just doing good, Lord, even when things look impossible. So we just bless this church, Father. We ask for your Holy Spirit to just come right now, Lord, that your fire would just touch every individual, Lord, that you would begin to speak to their hearts. What does a life look like that's fully poured out, Lord? What finance, Lord, what part of my life can I put on the table and let me be focused on eternal things? Because things that we can see are temporary, Lord, and they're going to fade. But the things that we can't see are eternal, Lord, and there is a reward in heaven for those things. So I ask for a recalibration, Father, just prophetically over people's lives, that they just come into alignment right now. The fogs, the Halloween costumes, all the things that would let us see clearly, God, and just reform a plumb line in our lives where we just see clearly, Lord, and just pour our lives out for the sake of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.